Right. Well, it's a privilege to be here and preach the Word of God. Wow, it's an honor. Especially for me, I'm so young still, kind of. 34. Is that still young?
Yes.
That's still young. And amen. And I feel good. I'm very thankful and grateful that God would ever choose Sam Abrams. I mean, and I'm not special. And the Lord knows that. And you know, I did something that will prove to you that I am not a special person, not gifted, not anything. Just the other day in the hotel, from the church put us up at a really nice hotel, and showing just the love of God through this church. And I wanted to wash my face, so I took I took the washcloth. And I just started cleaning my face. And I scrubbed myself so hard on my face that you can see the two. Can you see it from there? Right here, and right here. And I scrubbed myself so hard that it just, and that's what it caused. So you can see that I am not very bright sometimes, and that I make some foolish decisions sometimes. But I'm glad that, I mean, God still chose me to be able to take this honor upon myself to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to stand in churches just like this one. And it really is awesome. And tonight we will be in Luke. Luke chapter number, 18. Luke chapter number 18. Now I will make sure that this is where we need to be. Luke chapter number 18. All right, yeah. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1. And I will read it if you'd please just read along with me tonight, or not out loud, but just to follow along. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And would you just pray with me and ask the Lord for some additional help tonight? Father, thank you for this day. And God, help all of us to be like-minded according to your word. Help me just to speak. Just use your word tonight, and I thank you for your power and the Holy Spirit that you've given unto us, Lord, you've sealed us with, and thank you for this opportunity. Use it in whatever way might glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I want to tell you that as a young guy, sometimes we don't exactly know where our place is when we go church to church, and you know, what our job kind of is, you know, especially being just young and fresh in the ministry. And my pastor had always told us that, you know, when you come to a church, especially when it's regarding the mission field, he said you need to always try to make sure that the message is somewhere centered around missions and somewhere centered around that area. And it's up to God to take the message, you know, and apply it in the hearts of the people any way that he sees, because I don't know what anyone needs here. I can see, and I've got eyes and try to discern, but I don't know. And we're grateful that when we serve a God that has power to change our lives and in our minds, and the sanctifying work of His Spirit in our hearts through the Word of God, and that sword, that two-edged sword that pierces and divides asunder to the very joints and marrow of our bone, and that's exciting to me. And that's the word that you and I get to hear every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're hearing this powerful word. And yet in some of our churches, Pastor, it seems like it's just dead. I mean, it's like our life isn't changing and we're not becoming better and more closer to God. And here you have this sword and it's slicing and piercing, and yet hearts are still cold in many parts of the country, and hearts are still hardened, and hearts are still not tender towards the things of the Lord. And I was wondering and thinking about this, and we'll get right into this, that, you know, Pastor, I wish that my heart was that which yielded 100-fold. And I was sitting there in our camp meeting just this last week. We were in a camp meeting, and I had been on the field for the last 2 years, and so we don't get preaching a lot. And I was sitting there, and I realized that 2 years that we've been out on the field and on deputation, and I'm the one preaching all the time and not receiving much spiritual food from other preachers and not being under the influence of the Word of God and the power, that a lot of things in my life needed to be revealed. And when I got to the preaching, I sat there in the Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, let me receive this on good ground. And I did the best that I could to open my heart, acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and just kind of say, Lord, in my heart, I'm opening the gate as wide as I can and receiving this in my mind and in my heart. And man, God did such a work to clean a sinner like me and just to help me. And I'm hoping that that's what, and knowing actually that that's what God will do tonight. Now, we read here about prayer, and then the last verse said, shall he find faith on earth? Okay? Now, being that I am trying to encourage this, you folks, to continue on in missions, we'll get right into this, and hopefully God can kind of make this whatever he wants to do. I'll try to do it. So here we go. Read with me again in verse number 1. And Jesus is talking here, and he is speaking to his disciples and maybe some others that are gathered here. And we often know he speaks to multitudes, but his disciples are always the key folks that he's trying to teach and minister to along with others as he's preaching the kingdom. And here he is, and he says, and he spake a parable unto them, unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay? That word prayer, we know, means to address, and address towards God. It's kind of like and there's a prepositional thing, prayer towards God. And it's a voice that goes and approaches unto the living God. And that's pretty neat. That's like, I am coming unto the throne of grace, and I am really, in literal, not physical, but literally, spiritually, in the spirit and in truth, I am talking with Almighty God. I mean, and I believe that. And every time I sit there and I think about that, I'm like, I'm addressing God. And sometimes when I think, Pastor, I'm like, we try to remember, Jesus taught us how to pray, and he said, pray therefore after this manner. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, period. A pause. And he said, Father. And I'm looking here in this prayer, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then you look at that word faint, and it means weak, to become weak, to become feeble, to become maybe restless. And I know that everybody understands what restless and weak means. I get weak after I run. I get weak after I try to listen to preaching for hours. I get weak-minded when I'm away from the Bible. I get weak-minded when I'm away from God. And I get physically feeble when I don't eat. And physically, I get kind of just shriveled up when I don't drink water. Like the psalmist said, my bones are they're just dried out because of backslidings. And he's saying, and I get weak sometimes. And here he goes on, he says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. This man feared, he didn't care for God. He wasn't concerned that God was the creator of the world. He thought about it not. He didn't consider the creation and the thunderings and lightnings, which scare me sometimes. I am very fearful, especially when I'm not doing right before God and it's raining and thundering. I get scared because I know the power of God, and I'm sitting there listening and I'm backslidden. I'm sitting here saying, I know God loves me, and it's not a work salvation, and I don't earn His righteousness, but I'm scared when that thundering and that lightning hits and I become fearful. And this man feared not God, neither regarded man. He cared not for man. He was the judge, and whatever he said went. Regarded not you. He didn't regard human life like those people that don't care about abortions. They don't regard human life, and they don't care about all that. And here's a judge, and he doesn't care about mankind, and he doesn't care nor fear God, and he doesn't know that God's the center and power and creator of all the earth, and he's living his life. And there was a young widow woman, and there was a widow in that city, and reminding us that this is God speaking, and he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't get weak. Jesus is telling us this illustration and parable because he wants us to say, don't get faint. Don't faint. Church, don't faint. Apostle John and Peter and eventually Paul, don't faint. Don't get weak. And I'm telling you this story, and here's this judge, and he doesn't care. Doesn't care. And here comes this widow. Widows were weak. You know, the widow woman that had the mite that she gave, that's all she had, you know, and you remember Jesus looked and he was watching the treasurers and he was watching the rich men give of their abundance, and he was just, I don't know exactly how he was standing, but he was just watching and pondering their hearts and knowing what was in man. And here comes a widow woman. And she comes in and she takes her mite and she just casts it in. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he ever eternally wrote about this widow woman and said, she gave more than all of these rich because they gave of their abundance. And this widow of her mite, of her penury, of her need. And I would only put myself in ancient times or biblical times and step forward into the life of the Roman times and the Jews here and look at this widow on a dirt road walking back to where she lived and going into an empty house. No refrigeration, broken cabinets maybe if she was lucky, little furniture if any, having nothing and having need and having penury and having nothing like the widow and her son that was going to bake a little cake for her and her son to die because there was a famine. I can picture while I'm in this story and knowing that she had nothing. And she's weak with hunger. But yet she loves God and she puts that in him. But she's weak physically, maybe hunched over, knowing that she doesn't have much and barely making it. But yet knowing that she serves a mighty God. And here Jesus gives us the same illustration of this widow woman who has not a husband to take care of her. And Pharisees were known to rob the women and widows. And though this is a parable, we know the description that widows are given in Scripture. And they are robbed from. And here comes this widow woman in the city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She had an adversary. God wanted us to know adversary. And who is the Christian's adversary as a roaring lion seeketh about whom he may devour? And Jesus said, look, church, she had an adversary. Apostle, she had an adversary. Don't faint because of your adversary. Don't faint. Don't become weak. Don't stop praying because of your adversary. And here comes this widow. And the man that didn't regard men, didn't regard this widow, didn't think of it, didn't fear God, didn't care about mercy and judgment and righteousness, didn't care about God's law to help the poor and help the strangers and feed the widows and the fatherless and the orphans, to feed them and take care of them. He didn't care about any of that. He was the judge. And here he is, not caring what God, not fearing God. Here comes this widow. He looks at her the first time and he says, man, she looks pale. She looks weak maybe. And she's coming unto him and she says, avenge me of mine adversary. And he's sitting here saying, no, I will not. The next day she comes back and says, avenge me of mine adversary. And he says, I don't regard man. I don't fear God. I don't care. And he says, no. And she just keeps coming. And she's saying, I am not going to give up until I get what I want. Jesus gave this to us, which means that this lady was an illustration for the church and the people of God to what? To not faint, number one. Don't faint, church. Don't stop praying, church. Don't become weak and give up, church. Don't stop going to God. And then the other part was Jesus was saying that this lady kept going and she got what she wanted. And I'm telling you right now that I'm sitting here thinking, I just listened to a message by Jack Hiles, and he was talking about how he was reading Scripture and found out something that Ahab had said in the Scriptures of how he said that he wasn't a godly man, he was an ungodly man, and the king of Judah and the king of Israel, and they came together and said, Ramoth of Gilead is ours. It belongeth unto us. And he remembered that God had promised that that area was theirs, and the Assyrians were taken over. And he said, this belongs to us. And the church, we read Scriptures that God is saying to us, and he says, you know what belongs to you? Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you truly desire. And sometimes we hear that and we're sitting here thinking, that's not true, I don't really believe that, but that's what Jesus said. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believing, and you shall receive. Anybody in here think that God is a liar, church? Does anybody here dare call God a liar and say, it's not what I desire? But this lady right here, she desired that her adversaries, that this judge would take care of her adversaries, and you can have that whatever way you want. And then God tells us, and he says, look, what about the elect? Shall not God avenge his elect who cry unto him day and night? But I'm trying to maybe move this over and not be so much about the adversaries in our life, but you can think of that. Think about your adversaries, the afflictions, those things that come into your life and afflict you and cause you weakness and cause you to lose faith in God. And those things that bring us to our knees and those things, Pastor, that cause people to lose out of church and quit church and do all those things, stop giving and stop doing all these things, these adversaries in our life. And here's this widow woman who has this adversary, and she just keeps going, and God's saying, don't faint. Don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint. You always ought to pray and don't faint. And what an encouragement and a message to you and I that we have a God that says, don't faint. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Look. I want to see people saved. But the truth, and let me just be honest with you. And I don't want to take too much more time, okay? But let me just be honest with you, church. I'm not that spiritual. You know, I'm sitting here up here and saying that I want souls to be saved, and I'll be honest with you. You know what my prayer has been constantly? God, help me to want to see souls saved. And just going to God and saying, God, I just don't love souls like you do. And God, I want to want it, God. And I want to love you, God. And I want to do these things. And just going to God day and night and day and night. And going to Him early in the morning and waking up and going to Him and saying, God, this is what I want. And knowing that Jesus said, if you just keep going and don't faint, I'll give it unto you. I will reward you and go into the closet and shut the door, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I'm not trying to mess up text, and I'm not trying to not divide Scriptures like they should. I'm not trying to use whatever portions of Scriptures that I want. But you know how true it is. Whatsoever things we ask in prayer, believing they shall receive. And here's this widow woman, and she just desired so much from this judge who had the answer, who had the power, who had the ability to stop this adversary, and she just kept going and going and going, and she said, I'm not quitting until you give me what I want. And oh, if we had some fortitude Christians, Pastor, that came here and said, you know what? I want this church to be running 1,000. And you just kept going to God. And it wasn't out of an impure heart because you wanted something for your personal self or whatever. But I'm talking about a heart that just filled with the love of God. And you just said, I want this church to grow, God. I want Atumwa to stop doing drugs, God. And a pastor was telling me, I want Atumwa to do these things, these afflictions on our children, these things that are going on. I want missions, our missions budget to increase to $1 million for budget so we can support more missionaries. And you just got a group of people that just said, I'm not going to stop going to God until He gives us what we want. Shall God find faith on the earth? I'm saying there are people that are in churches nowadays and they don't pray much at all, and they're weak, and they're quitting, and they're stopping, and they don't pray anymore, and they don't do anything anymore. They used to go sowing, and they used to pray, they used to give, and they stopped, and they quit, and they fainted. And God's saying, don't quit. Don't faint. Don't get weak. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm talking to you young men. Jesus is talking to you young men and you young girls and you young ladies and you older people and the men and the women. I'm talking to you and Jesus is talking to you. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. And have something that you really want and that you need. Let me challenge, I guess, you and whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do with this message. It's His Word. And I don't believe that I preached anything that is just my personal opinion. I hope that you all agree. But I want to personally challenge you to think about something. Right now, think about something right now that you know you need. We're trying to be unified together right now, thinking all the same thing. What is it that you need? Do you even have something that comes to your heart, comes to your mind? Do you have something that you really need? Or do you have something that comes to mind that you really want? Something that you want so bad. Anybody got something? And I want you to challenge you to find that need, that desire. Dig deep for it. If you don't have it, ask God and keep asking until He gives you some sweet desire. And then you just ask and say, God, I've got a desire for this. And you just go, and you just go, and you keep going, and you go, and you go, and you go until God gives you the bread. I want to encourage you and challenge you to ask God for the desire to see more souls saved. And I know you are. Ask God to raise up more soul winners. Ask God to send more laborers into the field. And I tell you, don't stop asking for those laborers until you hear with your own ears that they're going. Pick a field, any field, and start going to God and saying, God, I just want you to send laborers over to China. God, I want you to send more laborers over to Russia. I want you to send more laborers over to Croatia. I want you to send more laborers over to all these other places. And you don't stop praying until God gives you a yes. I will. And you bother God. Spend time with God and then a more harvest, and you can see all these requests that God even tells us to pray for, and you just keep going until God gives you what you need. Can everybody do that? I mean, I'm trying. I've been praying for laborers over in Hong Kong and in China and wherever it is that God wants us to send them. And I've been praying for that for many years now, and I haven't stopped praying. And God recently just called an older man, he's about 70-something years old, back to Hong Kong from where he came from, 30 or 40 years ago, and he's going back over there to start churches, and that's an answer. I asked some missionary friends of mine that I just met not too long ago. They told me that they found our prayer card at a church that they had visited, and they picked it up, and they're beginning to pray for us. And he came up to me at our camp meeting, and he said, "Preacher, how can we pray for you?" And I just said, to be honest with you, I have a big need. I need to be a better husband, and I'm selfish. I do what I want to do. I don't spend enough time with my little girl. And I told him that, just honest. And then I told him, but I said, you know what would take care of all these things? I said, if I would just start loving God more. And here in the recent weeks, I felt my heart just loving God a little bit more. And just wanting to keep His commands, because He said that if you love me, keep my commandments. And I found myself in these recent weeks just wanting to obey and wanting to keep His commands. And I'm sitting here and I thought about it and I'm sitting here thinking, and I know what family it is that prays for me like that. And I just can't believe how many times he's gone to God with his family and said, "Oh God, you know what I need? I need Sam Abrams to love you more." And I need, and the wife lifting up her voice and their children saying, "Oh God," with a tiny little voice at the throne of God saying, "God, would you help the Abram family just love God a little bit more?" And they just kept going and going and going. And that's a sure answer from God, because it's the will of God for us to do so. And how many of us have things that we want and need according to the will of God, but we have stopped asking and we haven't seen the answers, and wanting to see backsliders come back, and wanting to see our Sunday schools filled and the pews filled and the mission field gone out and souls regenerated and money given and stuff, and we've stopped praying for those things when God says, "I want those things." Don't faint, church. This church, wow. What a beautiful place. And I got to stop. And I'll close with this, and I don't even know if this has anything to do with the message. Probably doesn't, but it's kind of sweet. My daughter hasn't seen that video before, I don't think. And apparently, I wasn't in here. I don't like to hear myself. It's pride, but I mean, I'm honest. You know, I just don't want to hear myself. You know, it's embarrassing. And my little daughter, apparently I came in after the video was over, and Jocelyn was, she was weeping. She was just crying. And my wife looked at me and she was kind of laughing and grinning, and I didn't ask her what was wrong, and Mandy said, "Jocelyn just," she said, "I want to go home. I want to go back to Hong Kong." And I've been praying that God would work just constantly, just, "Oh God, please, Holy Spirit of God, fill my daughter. I know she's not born again, and I know, but I mean, I just can't believe that," and just, "God, give her a tender heart and a humble spirit and a meek spirit, and God, give her these things." And here she is sitting here saying, she doesn't know what she's saying, but saying, "God, I want to go back to Hong Kong. I got friends there, God. I've got all these people, God. I mean, it's Hong Kong, God. It's home, God." An answer to prayer. And what that could do, wow. So church, I'm not saying you quit. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying don't faint. Keep praying. Keep asking. Don't stop. Find out what you want, what you need. And keep asking God until you get it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for working in my heart. Thank you.